Welcome to Flowcast, the podcast of the Dominican Sisters of Springfield. I'm Sister Sharon Zayak, and I'm here today with Sister Rose Marie Riley and Aidan Meyer for a conversation about what is happening at Jubilee Farm in regards to permaculture. Sister Rose Marie, welcome.
Thank you, Sharon. I'm delighted to have this opportunity to talk about this new project, this new venture that we're about.
And welcome, Aidan.
I'm so happy to be here and to be able to share my own experiences with you all and also learn about this whole new amazing project you want to be doing. So thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And I thank myself for being here as well. Well, we do want to share what we are about at Jubilee Farm. From the very beginning of our days, 24 years ago, we have considered and learned and wanted to look at restoration and regeneration. It has always been in our picture. However, it is not for us to restore, but it really is about what we can do to help Earth heal herself. And that's a really important concept. Earth knows what she needs to do in order to be healthy. And we need to relearn that lost wisdom and work with her. And that's really a fundamental concept of permaculture. The idea of permaculture has always been part of our dream at Jubilee Farm. You know, what can we do to assist that restoration, that healing? Now, permaculture itself, the concept itself, was named and developed by Bill Mollison, an Australian, back in the 1970s. And actually, the word means permanent culture. It is all about designing a garden or an ecosystem or a habitat that duplicates how Earth herself works, how she produces. So when we look at permaculture, our work is to really help the land rebuild the soil, restore natural conditions of water flow and drainage, and allowing what we now ignorantly call waste to be what it truly is, nourishment for other parts of the system. Because we humans have so drastically altered the landscapes, we now need to go about this intentionally. Now, at Jubilee Farm, we have almost 164 acres, and most of our land is kept as habitat. What has been niggling at us for a long time, and now we have the opportunity to move forward, is to do something to better utilize the very large, spacey lawn around our buildings, which fortunately are all concentrated in one area. We want specifically to cut down on the amount of mowing we do. Mowing has all kinds of unhealthy consequences for the land, for the air. We want to create a space in this area of self-sustaining edibles and flowers and grasses, and to allow the land to do what she wants and what she needs to for all of us to become more self-sustaining. So that's really the overall concept of permaculture.
Thank you, Sharon. And I'd like to add that Jubilee Farm has always been about right relationship. Relationship with Earth, our common home, and the broader community. And as Sharon indicated, for almost 25 years, our vision has been to maintain the integrity, stability, and beauty of the land, and to share the gift of the land with others, human and other than human. So as I think about permaculture, one aspect of this project is the social possibility. As we learn at Jubilee Farm, we will be sharing our learning with others who may also wish to make their lawns or their landscapes more sustainable. We hope others will catch the permaculture bug as we have, so that together we can create and contribute to a healthier ecosystem. As always, in any of our endeavors, in all of our endeavors, we will welcome volunteers to assist in the design and implementation aspects. We can't do this alone, nor do we want to. There's an energy that comes in collaborating with others and sharing ideas. Now, as we envision this permaculture project, we know that it requires in-depth study, commitment, labor, and expense. For the study component, we are working with Bill and Becky Wilson, who are the founders of Midwest Permaculture in Stell, Illinois. Their educational programs, vast experience, on-site assessments, and consultation are invaluable. I encourage our listeners to take a look at their website, MidwestPermaculture.com. Now, none of this would be possible for us to undertake without our partner, Faith in Place. Through Faith in Place, we received a nature-based climate solutions grant, which assists us in covering the expenses of study and implementation of this initial phase of permaculture. So I'm really grateful that Aiden Meyer, our community representative, is here to tell more about Faith in Place.
Thank you so much, Rosemarie. I'm just so excited to be here and to help make this happen. So I guess to kind of recap, I'm the Central Illinois Outreach Coordinator for an interfaith environmental nonprofit organization called Faith in Place. So a key aspect at Faith in Place is that we want to help empower people of faith to work on projects such as carbon sequestration projects, to help give back to the earth, for earth care projects. It's a huge passion of so many people, and I'm just so excited to be able to give them a crucial resource. So that's why I'm here today.
How is Faith in Place connected with the National Interfaith Power and Light?
So another thing about Faith in Place is that we stretch across three different states with Interfaith Power and Light. So Indiana and Wisconsin is where we also reside. So we have what are called green teams throughout Chicago, Central Illinois area, Southern Illinois, Milwaukee, and also in Indiana and Gary. So we're kind of a power hub more in Illinois, but we're starting to stretch more into outer states to provide resources such as the Lumpkin Nature Grant that I assisted Jubilee Farm in getting. So we really want to empower people to be able to have access to these resources.
You know, Aiden, you mentioned the tri-state area, and you mentioned carbon sequestration. And right now that is such an issue across the continent and across other nations as well. And specifically here in Illinois, as we are looking at a pipeline that is being built where carbon will eventually be supposedly sequestered just in our neighboring counties. Mm-hmm. And it's an issue that's really of concern to a lot of people. You know, how do you take carbon out of fertilizer plants, et cetera, solidify it or liquefy it and send it through pipelines and then bury it somewhere? When actually what permaculture is about and what a lot of regeneration issues are about on that a number of farmers are beginning to do is natural sequestration. If we keep the land covered in green, that's natural sequestration.
Exactly. And to add on, whenever we were doing advocating at the state capitol, we had many farmers come out to speak their minds about how they do not want the carbon capture situation that they're trying to do with the pipeline. So we also listen to our community. We want to hear how people are being affected by such projects, by such damaging projects that won't just affect them, but also their future generations. That's what's very important to farmers as well, is to keep it going down the line. So that's another thing that we do at Faith in Place, is that we want to invite people to talk to their legislators about things such as, you know, the carbon capture. So being able to help Jubilee Farm do a project that will inspire the community to see what they could do even at their own homes. This is a project that can be really small and it can be huge, like a Jubilee Farm. So I'm excited to see how you all incorporate the community and how we can invite people out to see how they can become inspired as well. Because Jubilee has so many amazing projects they've already done. You know, you've turned, you know, what was probably majority farmland into prairie, into ways that you can capture this carbon naturally in a healthy way to where it's not going to negatively affect people in the future. And just seeing that you all are so driven and you want to connect with the community, that just gives me so much hope for the future. So I'm just very, very excited for this project.
Thanks, Zaden. And can you tell us how to get in touch with Faith in Place if people are interested in knowing more, like your website?
Yeah, so my website is called faithinplace.org. You can go on there. You can take a look at what we advocate for. Maybe if your own house of worship is interested in starting a green team, because Jubilee currently has a green team through Faith in Place, and that's how they accessed this specific grant. So we do other grants like for solar. We do grants, of course, for carbon capture sequestration. And then also we have a lot of houses of worship that are very, very new to what they can do to care for the earth. They're not sure how, you know, recycling works, how composting works, how to start a community garden. And that's what I do, is I help people be able to do that, to start that. And thankfully, Jubilee is already very knowledgeable in general. But, you know, I've worked with different houses of worship that have come to me and just said, I don't even know where to start. And so it's a privilege of mine to already have that knowledge to share with these people. And I'm really hoping that by working with Jubilee on their permaculture project, that I can even learn from it, because I'm still very new to permaculture. So watching it, I can then work with them to give that knowledge to many other people all across Illinois. And then, of course, as we go into Indiana and Wisconsin and so on and so forth. So such a small area can lead to such big progress, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think that brings up a good number of points, one of which is we all do our own projects always based on our own passion, you know, or our own interest. But the urgency now is that we collaborate, that we do this with others. And Faith in Place allows us to be able to be part of that. Midwest Permaculture allows us to be part of that bigger collaboration. And for Jubilee Farm, we have always, from the very beginning, been about education. As Dominicans, that's one of our primary ministries in the church is how do we learn, how do we study, you know, and how do we teach others, how do we share with others not only our knowledge but receive from them their knowledge as well. So this permaculture, I don't want to call it a project. It's really not a project. It's a way of life. Is one way for us to be able to do this. And there have been a couple of mentions about people can do this in their own backyards, and that's entirely the point. When they can see what we can do, what we're starting small at Jubilee Farm with about a fifth of an acre, but we're starting small. But people can do this in their own backyards and actually turn their backyards into edible landscapes. We've seen enough of the programs that Midwest Permaculture has put on, and it's exciting to see what people can do. So it's not this big, complicated, oh my gosh, I have to learn all of this stuff, you know, before I begin to do it. And that, I think that's really exciting. But it is about learning, and that is one of the things that as a team at Jubilee Farm we've been doing. Those of us here have taken on the online permaculture course. Very interesting. You know, for some of us, it wasn't a lot of new information, but it helped pull it all together for us. And for others, it was the first time, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And now we're going to be embarking on the second course called Permaculture Design. And that's actually going to give us more of the okay, how to? How do we really design a garden so that it works naturally with the earth community rather than our putting everything in rows so that everything is easy to, you know, to go through and weed? You know, how do we design it? And actually, one of us will be working towards certification in permaculture design. So that's pretty exciting. As I mentioned, we're going to start with a fifth of an acre, which is just right to the south of our farmhouse. It's called Permaculture Garden. That's really what we're starting with, is a garden. And it's going to be in the area where we're already growing produce so that we can, you know, begin to look to see how this thing is going to finally come out looking. And then the plan is to extend it, you know, as time goes on, to let the garden grow. But what it really means for us is ongoing education. You know, we have to learn from the experts, and primarily we have to learn from the greatest expert, Earth herself. We have to watch and see how she does things. And as Rosemary said, we're going to need a lot of help from volunteers and from those who want to learn about what we are doing, because it's when we get together and share ideas where the greatest things happen. And again, I just want to say that this whole system is so replicable. Anyone can design a permaculture garden in their own backyards. It's just our backyard is a little bigger than most people's. As we begin, what is it going to look like? Well, right now, when you come out, you're going to see a fairly traditional looking garden. We've got garlic growing in a row. We've got our asparagus there. We've got, you know, a number of herbs, flowers, but it's pretty conventional looking garden. And so this year, that's what it's going to look like. Next spring is when we begin to hope, because we will have gone through the course by then. We will begin to shape it in a way that makes it much more earth friendly. What that's going to look like, we don't have a clue yet. We are going to put up a sign saying something like, "Coming, permaculture garden, you know, watch us grow," so that as people come out, we can show them where we are right now and where we hope it will be in the future. But as to have an idea of a real design in our head yet, we don't. We just know what we don't want it to look like.
I actually have a question. Do you think you're going to try and start doing like work days out there where you have set, I guess, scheduling to help people in advance know like a good day where everyone can kind of come out at the same time and volunteer? Or is it more of whenever someone can come out on their own time?
Probably both. You know, I think in the beginning, there probably will be work days because we'll have to, you know, as we restructure what the actual ground looks like, if we're going to need to build in any kind of swales or anything in order to capture water, we are going to need work days for that. So we will rely on you, Aiden, and your wonderful newsletter to announce that information so that we can get people to come out and help us. And then it will be a matter of you know, when people can come out and help. The real promise of a permaculture garden or a permaculture area is that once it is set up so that Earth can work with it naturally, it's pretty self-sustaining. We will not have to go out there and do the kind of weeding we're doing now. We won't have to do the kind of work that we do now to sustain it because all of the elements or the subjects in that garden will know how to complement one another and do what they need to do. So if we tell people that they can create a garden that they won't have to weed or do a lot of work in, I think everybody is going to want to do that. And how does it work? It works because in the permaculture setting, you don't have areas, you don't have dead zones or dead areas or grassy areas that need to be mowed, or you don't have uncovered areas. The soil is covered everywhere with some kind of growth or some kind of or a pond or a swale or a ditch that holds the water. It's because we allow land to, quote, lie fallow, that we have weeds, that we have to pour poisons on them to keep the weeds out. It's because we don't allow that natural cover crop to be there to keep the grasses out. And our grasses in this country are not native to the United States, which is why we have to spend so much money and so many dollars of fertilizer and mowing, et cetera, because they're not natural. They're really European based.
To kind of add on when you say, like, how do people not have to weed anymore for a garden such as this? Kind of what Sister Sharon was saying was you just have so much healthy growth of native plant species that it doesn't get really choked out anymore by weeds. So like whenever you have like a garden, it's a little bit different. I mean, like a vegetable garden, I guess you could say. You have a lot of open areas for other plants to grow. So whenever, you know, you start a new project with native plant species, those primarily take over to where, like Sister Sharon said, there's really no room for weeds to grow. There's no room for weeds to thrive because you already have native plant species there that are thriving. So it takes time, it takes work, but in the long run, it's a lot less work in the future once your garden is established, once it is up and running and looking gorgeous, might I say. That's even what I'm doing right now at home is a little permaculture myself. And just seeing what it's going to turn into, it just makes me so excited to see even what Jubilee Farm is going to start looking like. It's going to be a lot less work because, you know, you're already kind of stretching out for as much help as you can get out there. So the less work you have, the better. And why not continue with this permaculture project if that means that in the long run, it's going to do carbon capture sequestration and it's going to be a lot less mowing, so less CO2 emissions. You're going to be able to capture all that rain water runoff, so you're not contributing to flooding and filling up our sewage and all that, you know, all those problems that are arising today with heavy rainfall. So you're just contributing to the positive outcome and giving examples to those that really want to learn as well of how they can not negatively impact the environment. And I feel like this is one of the easier projects in my opinion, because when it comes to solar, or when it comes to, you know, bigger, more expensive projects, it's kind of daunting. But doing a little garden in your yard, that's fun. It looks like really beautiful. And it's just, you can get your kids involved. And I really want to see how the community gets involved, even at Jubilee as well.
And I would suggest that anyone listening, if you know this is making your mind stir and you're interested in learning more, to call us at Jubilee Farms so that we can put you on a list to keep you informed as we do move further into this newness of our own study and wanting to share it with others, or the volunteer piece that will start adding people to a list, and then further on down the road when we're ready for volunteers, we'll be able to contact you. So our phone number is 217-787-6927.
Thank you, Rosemarie. And thank you, Aiden. I think three things probably will attract people the most. It's beautiful. It is just a beautiful setting. There are a lot of good things to eat that come from permaculture gardens.
The weeds.
Oh, yeah.
Your weeds. No weeds.
Yeah. And it's self-sustaining. It's not, once it's set up, sure, there's a little bit of work to do. You have to pick the produce. You have to wash the produce, you know. But it is self-sustaining, and it is not the kind of work that we have really trapped ourselves into with conventional gardens, where we think everything has to grow pristine with no other vegetation around it. And if there's any other vegetation around it, we call it a weed. I have always said a rose is a weed if you're trying to grow daisies. I had the great good pleasure a few years ago to work with a scientist, a plant specialist, who taught me something that I have never forgotten. He says, when you look at what is growing in a field or in your garden even, when you see the vegetation coming up, whether you want it there or not, what grows is what the soil needs. So if you see a lot of, because when we first came to Jubilee Farm, we saw a lot of mustard growing in the fields. I mean, it was a field of mustard. And I said to him, my goodness, why do we have this? He said, because the soil needs sulfur, and there's sulfur in that plant. And so the plant is growing, it's dying, it's feeding sulfur back into the soil. He says, as soon as the sulfur is balanced in your soil, you won't see mustard again. It took a couple of years. That was, I don't know how many years ago, and we've never seen mustard plants growing again. So Earth knows what she needs to allow to grow in order to restore her balance. And I keep thinking, then why are we pulling out all of these, quote, weeds, when that's what's growing, so that the soil can balance itself? Which takes me back to my point. We have so much to relearn, and Earth is willing to teach us. You know, a lot of people think that, all right, this sounds like a good deal. Permaculture is a good deal. These gardens are wonderful. So how do we produce them on massive scales so we can feed the world? It is a myth. It is an absolute myth to believe, even though that is what is told to us by agribusiness, that it is large-scale production that feeds the world. Most of the food produced in this world, which feeds the majority of people around the world, are small community gardens or backyard gardens or small farms by farmers who grow an incredible amount of produce. It is not with these mega farms that produce hundreds and hundreds of acres of the same kind of produce. And so the whole concept of taking permaculture and making it one huge agribusiness is an oxymoron. That is not what's feeding the world.
I guess when it comes to like making it more accessible to communities, what a lot of cities have done is like when it comes to community gardens is that they take a lot of these abandoned empty lots. They'll contact the city, and if nobody really wants that plot, they can turn it into a community garden. And that's another way you can even turn these plots into permaculture, where they have green spaces within these urban areas. So I think that's another idea is, what do people do with these abandoned parking lots, these abandoned houses, these abandoned lots that have been untouched for 20 years plus? You know, so I think that's another idea to kind of put into people's heads to help make their spaces greener, to give them a place to take their kids, their families, to just be able to be in nature, even when they're in large scale areas like cities or more urbanized areas. So that's kind of another idea that people have brought up for future ideas to bring green to them instead of needing to leave, you know, their homes. They can have it right in their backyard if they wanted to, right? And empty lots in their neighborhoods. That's another idea.
Which is such a wonderful way to build community.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so we've learned quite a bit. There's a lot more to learn. We, again, welcome questions. We welcome volunteers. We welcome people, visitors coming out just to see what we're about. We welcome your own enthusiasm for even beginning perhaps your own permaculture garden in your own yards. Rosemary or Aiden, do either of you have anything else you'd like to add?
People are always welcome to come to Jubilee Farm, to enjoy the land, to walk the trails. That's part of why we're there, to share the gift of the land. And so just give us a call, let us know you're coming, and then we welcome you to come and learn more about the farm.
Yeah, and then I just like to add that you are welcome to check out our website if you're interested in becoming part of Faith in Place, whether that be get your own house of worship involved, or if you're just looking to volunteer at different projects, or I guess, what did you say, a vision, Sister Sharon? I think you called it a vision, not a project, but just things that you can get involved with that Faith in Place provides. So feel free to go on our website, faithinplace.org, or even shoot me an email. I check it religiously. It's Aiden@faithinplace.org. I'm very much looking forward to working with Jubilee and continue this vision throughout the course of the next probably year or so. So thank you so much for having me on today to answer any questions and to talk about this. So I'm very thankful to be here.
Well, thanks for listening to Flowcast, a production of the Dominican Sisters of Springfield. Thank you, Sister Rosemary Riley, Aiden Meyer, and myself, Sister Sharon Zayak, for, I think, a wonderful and stimulating conversation. All the resources we mentioned are available in the show notes at flowcastlisten.org, where you can also subscribe to receive every Flowcast episode in your email inbox. The Flow in FLOW cast is an acronym for the life of the world, reminding us of our call to imitate Christ, who offered himself for the life of the world. And thanks to the Flowcast team, engineer and editor Brandon Durham, marketing director Jean Ann Miller, and producer Sister Beth Murphy. I'm Sister Sharon Zayak, and I'm so grateful to have had this opportunity, along with Rosemary and Aiden, to share with you something that we are very excited about.